Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
To Trump or not to Trump? That is the question. That's the a statement that is the opening line of a title of an article that's been written by Joe Dallas. You can read it for yourself out at Joe's website, joedallas.com. But the article starts off this way. It says, to Trump or not to Trump, where I landed and why. And it starts off with a quote from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. And in verse 5, it says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And the article then begins. It says, a highlight of this crazy election is the division among conservative evangelicals. As long as I've been a voting adult between Ford and Carter in 1976, we've tended to back the same man. But in 2016, is nothing if not a year of contention. So today, supporters and opponents of the Republican candidate find themselves side by side in the pews, but miles apart in the polls. Well, I think that's a great way to start the article off. And Joe then works through the issues in this article and then tells us where he landed and why at the end of the article. And I thought that that would be a good exercise for us to go through on the program today. Joe, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. Good talking with you again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked, but I follow your blog posts on a regular basis and have always appreciated your ministry. There's always been so many different things that we could talk about that you're involved in on a regular basis. But in this particular case, if we could carve out a little bit of time here this morning to talk about politics, that would be great. I think you've done a good job in this article of laying out the consternation that many people find themselves in. But let's start working through it in your article. Why don't you set it up for us a little bit? In the opening part, you have a few statements of introduction and then list a couple of principles or some general points that you weigh when thinking about a candidate. Why don't you take us through that, and then we'll work our way through the article a little bit.
Thank you, and that's a good way to start. I know that many believers have such a distaste for someone who is foul-mouthed, bombastic, has questionable moral practices in his background, any number of character flaws. We would like our president to be someone who is a person of sound character, whose demeanor is befitting of the office, who carries himself or herself like a gentleman or a lady, and all the better if that person is a born-again believer who has a vibrant relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We would prefer all of those things.
Amen.
Kevin, the question I have had to wrestle with, though, is, are those things essential for that person to get my vote, or are there even more essential issues? And with after a real struggle, I have landed on the position that the essential issues have more to do with the policies the person will promote than the character and personality of the person.
Mm.
And for that reason, I did land on supporting the Trump candidacy. I believe that the policies he is more likely to put into place than the alternative, Mrs. Clinton, are policies that will be in the best interest of my country and in the best interest of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, to me, is the issue. Will the policies of the individual be in the best interest of the country and of the church? That, to me, matters more even than what type of person the president is. Now, let me be quick to say, this is not the way I would approach church life.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, as I said in my article, that a pastor, or for that matter, a spiritual leader, whether pastor or not, must be above reproach. Therefore, the character of the Christian leader within the church is absolutely as important as the doctrine that that leader promotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not compromise in that area. But when we are talking about secular governmental leadership, we are primarily talking about policies, not character. And for that reason, I am concerned at the number of Christians who are going to basically default their vote, and in doing so, quite likely usher in a dark and a very possibly irreversible period and trend.
Mm-hmm.
In our nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted to say our nation may become history under the wrong presidency. And so, and I believe that a presidency, I say this hesitatingly, gosh, Kevin, this is the first time you and I have ever talked about politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really my gig. It's really not. I prefer talking about purity and discipleship and biblical issues. But the future of not just the country, but the church within the country is largely going to be determined by not only who is in the White House, but who is appointed to the Supreme Court and by the laws that are going to be enacted during that person's presidency. And this will have a good deal to do with how much liberty the church has to preach the gospel and to make disciples. Never has there been such a looming impact on the church, I believe, as there will be in this election.
A couple of comments on what you said. I posted on somebody's site, you know, who was talking about popular Christian, the article that they were referring to. It says this: popular Christian author is downright baffled by evangelical support for Trump. And that was Philip Yancey, who was saying that he was baffled by it. And I put in one of the posts associated with that article, I put, of course, Trump was not the first choice for many Christians. But the reality now is that one of only two people will be in the White House next year, Trump or Clinton. And when you compare those two, the choice is simple. Clinton and the policies that she would implement is so bad that even Trump, by comparison, is a far better choice. And so I tried to highlight just, I think, what you were saying right there, that obviously Trump was not the one that we wanted to see representing us. We would rather have somebody much more, a godly person who holds to good policies and so forth, obviously. But that isn't the way that it worked out. And so now we've got to choose just between two different people. And then one more thought, and then I'll get your comments. But the you talked about the difference between civil versus sacred, you know, and the way that we think about these things, whether it be in the church or in society. Well, that part of that is seen, the dichotomy there, in just the fact that we wouldn't oppose a female, Hillary Clinton, assuming the position of authority as the president of the United States just based upon the fact that she's a woman. But in the church, we hold to that a woman should not have authority over a man in the church. So related to ecclesiastical things. So there would be a clear distinction. In civil society, we would allow for one thing, even though we would, I'm not voting for her because of her policies, and they we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But just the fact that she's a woman does not disqualify her, which would disqualify her in holding office in the church. And so we can see that there is a difference of the way that we look at someone in civil authority versus being in ecclesiastical authority in the church. Your thoughts?
No question there is a difference. My goodness, I was actually very excited initially about Carly Fiorina.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of other candidates I was excited about long before I decided to give my support to Trump. But as you were saying, there were other candidates who I felt in both temperament and general character, I would have preferred. But you're absolutely right. Some people say, oh, well, you're just choosing the lesser of two evils. I would argue I am choosing the better of two options.
Mm.
if one person is definitely going to drive us over a cliff, and another person is a somewhat reckless driver, but I have no reason to be certain that person will drive us over a cliff. Now, come on, who do you think I'm going to ride with? I think that's a no-brainer.
There's that car analogy again. I think that was way back with Obama that they were talking about the car analogy, but it's still with us, so I'm glad we can still use it. Joe, you point out four general points, then. Let me read through them, and then we'll go ahead and look at them related to each one of the candidates. The four points are these: the principles and the policies the candidate promotes. That's the number one thing to take into consideration. Number two, the principles and policies of the party the candidate will elevate. Number three, the appointments the candidate will make, particularly to the Supreme Court. And then last, the general trajectory the candidate will take the country if elected. So those are the four guiding principles that you point out in your article. And then you take those and you begin to apply them to the two choices, the only two choices that we have in this particular election. Let's look at that first one. Principles and policies of the candidate. What do you say about that?
I would say that one candidate operates on an expanded government principle, on the principle that government should be more involved in the lives of the citizens, and that government should address social and moral issues that have traditionally been left to the family. The government should even interject itself more into the raising of children. One, and that would be Mrs. Clinton, absolutely will favor an expanded government domestically. The other has every indication that he will favor a more limited government and that he will stress more government's role in protecting the country, either from foreign powers, foreign invaders, or protecting the status of the country, and will not apply himself so much to what I would call social engineering. So one policy and platform, I believe, is about transforming the culture. The other is more about protecting the culture. Mm-hmm. I will go with the protector, not the transformer.
Now, obviously, that principle of limited government is a conservative principle, and we would like to see someone who is even stronger on it than Trump is. You're right, he generally holds to that, but we saw some breaches of that already where he was talking about child care subsidies or things along those lines. So it's not going to, he's not going to hold to that perfectly, right? But the general.
No. And in fact, on every point that I have there, Kevin, mm-hmm. I do not believe Trump is where I would like him to be. I don't. Mm-hmm. I believe he is much closer to where I would like the president to be than Mrs. Clinton ever will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly am not looking at Trump as the ideal fulfillment of those four principles. But he is much closer to them, and for that reason, I would go with him.
Mm-hmm. And again, we need to keep re-emphasizing the idea of comparatively. Comparative to who? Comparative to his opponent that he's running against. So those two compared, obviously he is much more limited government focused than Hillary Clinton is. We can see that clearly from the policies.
Yes, and
the
Kevin, I am glad you are reiterating it's a binary choice.
Mm-hmm.
My honest opinion is that you are kidding yourself if you write in a candidate's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have only a choice between two people. And like I said in my article, with all due respect, I know and respect many believers who are going to write in a name. My opinion is that it is irresponsible to throw your vote away when the fact is you only have one of two choices. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So to write in a name is to make a statement, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in making your statement, you are throwing away the chance to influence this country in a better direction rather than a worse direction.
Mm-hmm. My view on writing in that name is very similar, but I would encourage people that are going to do it. that if you're going to do that, you might as well write in your own name, because you're the only person that you're going to agree with 100% on all the issues, and you have just about as much opportunity of winning the presidency as the person's name that you're going to write in. So if you're going to write a name in, write your own name in, and I think you'll be happy with the choice. You just won't be happy with the results that are going to come out afterwards. Let's talk very quickly about the principles and the policies of the party. Now, we have so much on identity politics today and so forth. A lot of times the party platform seems to get lost in this whole thing, but the truth is, the platform that has been written with these two parties, the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party, they are night and day, right?
They really are. And as I said in my article, just as I said about Trump, he is perfect by no means. So I believe the Republican Party is a very imperfect party in some ways, to be honest with you, Kevin. I don't even recognize it at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still essentially the party of limited government. It is still essentially the party of strong national defense. It is still essentially the party of traditional morality. That is not to say that all of its leaders or all of its members have followed those policies perfectly. We know they haven't. But it is still essentially a party whose philosophy I am essentially in agreement with. And it is true that whoever is in the White House definitely elevates the influence of the party he or she represents. There can be no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when I look at the policy, when I look at the platforms, rather, of the Democratic and the Republican Party, and again, we only have a choice between those two. There's no point in even talking about the Libertarian Party platform or the Green Peace Party platform or whatever. That's academic, because only one is going to get in, one of two, Republican or Democrat. I would go with the Republican platform, because it is much closer, much more in sync, I believe, to my beliefs, first as a Bible-believing Christian, and secondly as an American who still believes in American exceptionalism, that this is an exceptional country with an exceptional tradition, and it is worth defending and preserving.
Mm. And let me remind our readers, too, that Joe, obviously, in the books that he has written, has specifically focused on various types of sexual immorality that's taking place in our society and even among some professing evangelicals as well. Specifically, Joe has a book out that we've talked about many times, but called The Gay Gospel, with a question mark after it. And he has been one of the best articulations of that issue, its historical background, and where we are today. Joe has done the best job of articulating that and the scriptural response to those things than any other person that I know about that has written on these issues. But this is what he says then on the party in his article. He says, but her party, speaking of Hillary Clinton, is largely beholden to groups whose commitment whose commitment to silencing the Christian influence is unyielding. The LGBT movement in particular, along with the more radicalized facets of the feminist movement, have already shown their hand brazenly around the world, and certainly in our own nation, as groups intolerant of opposing views and more than willing to punish individuals and institutions promoting values different from their own. Well, there's something, Joe, that, you know, ties these, what you typically write about, and then writing about this issue, it ties these two things together. And we have very much reason for concern in that particular area, right?
You would have to be extremely naive, if not somewhat blind, not to see the impact that the LGBT movement has already had on Christian liberties. Just over the past year and a half, since the Supreme Court, in essence, greenlighted the redefinition of marriage in June of 2015, we have seen increased lawsuits against Christians who, in conscience, cannot support that redefinition. We are seeing more and more restrictions proposed on Christian universities and institutions. In California, for example, we nearly had a bill passed which would have essentially forced Christian colleges and universities of all kinds, except for seminaries, to comply with anti-discrimination laws that would have forced them to accommodate same-sex couples and transgendered people. So you really would have to be, I think, deliberately ignoring the facts if you were to try to deny the fact that the Democratic platform is beholden to the LGBT movement and that that movement is committed to imposing itself upon the church. Like I said in my article, and I do need to say this, Kevin, I don't know Hillary Clinton. I have no right to judge the validity of her statement when she says she is a Christian. She does say that, and I will not take it on myself to say she is not. I'm not even going to say I think she personally wants to see the churches censored and restricted and silenced. But I think that she will have no choice if she's elected but to push for laws and regulations on the churches that the LGBT movement wants imposed on the churches, because she is largely supported by that movement. And because she is supported by them, she will be beholden to them, and she will be accommodating their goals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple minutes left in the broadcast, but I want to get to the last two. Number one is the appointments. I don't know why more isn't made of this, because this is kind of Trump's strong suit. I don't think he knows a lot of these things himself, but he has built his career on that. He's the right guy to find the right guy to be able to do the job, you know? And so you would think they'd make more of this. But anyway, specifically choosing like the Supreme Court and other nominees, we saw his choice of Pence already, so we have gotten a sneak peek at the type of people that he would choose. Your thoughts there very quickly.
Yes, the domestic policy issues of this country are going to be determined by the Supreme Court. They are less and less in the hands of the people. We can vote all we want for different laws, but the Supreme Court will overturn our vote. The court has proved that too many times. Therefore, we want the Supreme Court appointments to be people who take the Constitution as their guide.
Yes.
Not as just a friendly reminder of what direction they can go if it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I want people who are not interested in making laws, but interested in protecting the laws as framed in the Constitution. And so for that reason, I am very afraid, literally afraid, of the appointments that Hillary Clinton would make, and I'm much more optimistic about the ones Donald Trump would make. They will absolutely determine the direction of our country for years to come, probably decades.
Leads to the last point with just 1 minute left, but trajectory. He may not make the America great again, but it may be better than it would have been. Better than what it would be under Hillary Clinton candidacy. Is that the gist of the trajectory?
I believe he will make it better than it is now. I believe he would certainly make it better than a Clinton presidency would. I believe he would be going in the right direction. And for that reason, he has my support.
The final statement in your post, again, out at joedallas.com. You can read it, but you say, let's give grace after November. Just your final and closing thoughts on that.
I know we're divided. I know that we're going to have to forgive each other after this election. There, those of us who supported Trump, if Clinton wins, we will need to forgive the believers who refused to vote for Trump and defaulted to Clinton. If Trump wins, there are believers who are going to need to forgive us because they're going to feel we introduced a blowhard, a temperamental narcissist into the presidency. That's the way many people view Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still one body. We still need to exercise grace with each other.
Well said, Joe. I think I totally agree with what you're talking about here. And I think, you know, the type of rhetoric where people are then said to be, you know, compromisers or don't have the courage, or they're selling out, and they don't have any backbone or spine if they go ahead and vote for Trump. I don't see that at all. I see a lot of Christians that have been struggling with how do we do. They love their country, they love their God, and they're just trying to do the right thing. And I think you've articulated for them very well in this article, and I've already gotten feedback to that extent. Thank you, Joe, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Find out more about Joe Dallas. As you can see from the way he wrote this article and we discussed it, you can see just the way that Joe has a knack for just calmly looking at these issues and thinking through them and thinking biblically about them. You can check him out at joedallas.com. His books are there as well. If you want to get a copy of his books, they're excellent. Let me say this, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.